from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, on Odyssey Sports Station.
A little after 5 o'clock, live from MetLife Stadium. Today is the site of the Giants Fan Fest. As we ready for the start of the NFL season here in New York, the 100th season for the New York football Giants. And coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll talk to a bunch of Giant legends we'll be here until 7 o'clock. Sean just hit me and said, let's go, because the New York Yankees have officially won a baseball game. They beat the Chicago Cubs 3-0. You may have heard a little bit of it on the 660 side. We'll be joined by 660, I guess, in about 45 minutes or so. But the Yankees shut out the Cubs. They get 6 brilliant innings out of Luis Gil. But then they get 9 outs out of their bullpen, protecting a 3-0 lead. None of those outs recorded by Clay Holmes. They get those 9 outs, including the last 3, by Luke Weaver.
With 2 strikeouts.
I don't think this means Luke Weaver is the closer, because I do think that Aaron Boone is going to have to play the matchup game. But in day number 1 of playing said matchup game, it worked out. Jake Cousins pitched the 7th, Tommy Kahnle pitched the 8th, and then Luke Weaver shut the door in the 9th inning, and the Yankees win a very important game. They are now, I guess, tied for first place in the American League East.
Right. That's right.
Do you feel good?
I feel great. Yeah. I feel better than lukewarm.
Oh, because his name is Luke.
Why'd you have that?
You have to add that.
Luke Weaver. Come on.
Just give us a Cinco.
Have a Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. And this is obviously a huge night, a huge weekend for New York Giants fans. The 100 seasons of Giant Football Fan Fest making their way out to MetLife. Enjoy yourself tonight. I'm going to give you my 5 greatest Giants plays of my lifetime.
Giants plays.
Remember, I don't have 100 seasons in me. I'm 37. My 5 favorite Giants plays when I close my eyes are my 5 favorite. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
2000 season, divisional round. Jason Sehorn's pick 6 versus the Philadelphia Eagles to the house. The ball batted up in the air. It was like a circus act. To this day, I don't think I've seen a more incredible interception than that.
What was your perspective of that, Teague? Were you just standing there? Were you looking down?
I was watching it on the board. I didn't see it with my eyes. You know what I mean? Because I was sitting on the bench and... And it was, I think it was cold that day. And so I didn't see it, but obviously it was one of the great interceptions in Giant history.
And versus
for sure.
The Eagles, stick it to them.
Right.
Here we go.
Number 4.
50-yard touchdown rush to seal the Giants playoff spot in week 17 versus Washington in 2006 by Tiki Barber.
Nice.
My favorite Tiki Barber run of all
time. My third touchdown in that game.
What were you thinking on that play? Could you tell as soon as that ball was handed off to you, you were going to go crazy and take it to the house?
No, actually, it was an outside zone play, and we would pull the guard or the center. And because of the defensive front, we ended up pulling the center, so it's Sean O'Hara. And he got a late start getting out of the block. So I was very diligent with my angle and my path. It was always the same. But because Sean was coming from the center, it wasn't the front side guard, it was the center, I was in front of him, and so it kind of got screwed up. And so if you go back and watch that play, I get to the hole and Sean's like trailing me, and so I push him, I push him into his block,
right,
and it opens up a hole for me, and then I cut underneath him and then outrun everybody to the end zone. It was actually like the details of that play, it shouldn't have worked. My point is, it should have been a dead play. But because Sean and I kind of had this innate feel, really, with all those guys I did, it turned into a 50-yard touchdown.
Crazy. And number 4 on the Cinco de Fivo.
And clinched the playoff spot.
Did.
Here we go.
Number 3.
That game was closer than it should have been.
Totally. Mario Manningham's catch at Super Bowl 46. The throw is unbelievable by Eli, but the toe drag, we were talking about last night, Isaiah likely does not stay in bounds if that ball is to him.
And no. Mario was the worst at that. That was the ironic thing of that. He can never get his feet in bounds, and in the biggest moment, he did it.
Oh, man.
That has almost become underrated because of what happened 4 years earlier.
Yeah, well, we'll see if that's on the list.
I'm pretty sure it's on the list.
All right, here we go.
Jeez.
Number 2.
2011 divisional round to end the half, the Hakeem Nicks Hail Mary. Mm. What a moment. That was – I started to cry, and I yelled as soon as he caught that pass, oh, my God, we're winning the Super Bowl.
Really?
That was the moment
I jumped
knew.
A couple of steps with that,
I
right?
knew they were winning the Super Bowl. And remember, I also knew because the Saints had lost to the 49ers the day before.
Yeah.
That path had cleared out. We didn't have to go to New Orleans.
Interesting.
All right, and here we go.
Number one.
2011, Christmas Eve.
Oh, you son of a...
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
It's Kyle Wilson.
It's the David Tyree catch, of course. That is the moment whenever they show it, and they will on Sunday when the Giants come out and they flash through the highlights, pumping them up. I still well up with tears in my eyes when I hear Bob Papa's call, and I see Tyree catch the pass. No moment in my life, including the birth of my children, makes me think and cry more than Tyree catching that ball.
Can I ask you a question? I think I know the answer, but I ask it for reasons.
Sure.
If on the very next play, Eli threw an interception, how would you remember the David Tyree helmet catch?
Probably the same way that curse catch is remembered by Seahawks fans in the game they lost to the Patriots.
No, I get you, because I have that. Like, we as sports fans have that. And
yeah, it would be an awesome moment, but it would be like, oh, it was all for naught.
Right. I mean, that's the way I look at those moments that don't turn into wins.
Yeah, I don't think it survives.
I agree with you. And I think because the Giants have such a great history.
They have a legacy.
They have an incredible legacy that it's easier to just kind of put that in the dustpan of history. But when you don't have a great legacy or you have long periods of times without winning anything, then you've got to take little things and put it on a bigger pedestal, yeah. Even if you ended up losing the series or the game. And there are many examples of that in New York sports. Obviously, Andy Chavez jumps out at me, but I always say that to Knick fans about the Jordan Starks dunk. Like, you didn't win the series. Like, what are we celebrating? But the Knicks and Mets are very similar, where we don't have that much to celebrate.
Yeah, but I think that John Starks dunk, it still exists because there weren't championships. You know what I mean?
What do you mean there weren't? Well, yeah, there weren't, exactly.
And so it stays there. So I'm trying to think now, if the Giants hadn't won that Super Bowl.
Oh, it goes away.
And your last Super Bowl was 90? Yeah.
It I don't know, because why does John Starks thing still...
Series. It's a series. The game is won.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. But I don't know. We still remember that John Starks dunk.
Well, because of who he dunked on, too.
Well, okay. So a couple things about the Giants. Obviously, do they then go on and win 4 years later? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think you remember 2007. If the next play is an interception, you would say... This is devastating, but what a run. Wow.
Yeah.
We shocked the Packers with Tom Coughlin's cheeks almost falling off. We beat the Cowboys a week earlier, and we took the undefeated Patriots to the limit. No one took them more to the limit than us multiple times. So I think it would be remembered in kind of a celebratory
not
way.
Not with the reverence that it is.
No.
There.
No.
No. But... It's kind of like your team. Like, the 2000 Giants are remembered fondly. You guys went to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's
right.
You know, it's a pretty damn good accomplishment. So, I think it would have been remembered that way. But my point is, for that moment to be number one, there needed to be other moments to solidify it.
Right.
Because without Plaxico Burress getting in the end zone for a touchdown.
Or Steve Smith getting that first down on third down right after that.
Yeah. Yep. Then it's not your number one moment. It's probably not even in your top five.
Was 2000 the only... championship game in Giant Stadium?
No, they had the 86. Beat Washington.
Yes.
I don't remember that game for some reason. And I should have, because I was a Washington fan at that point.
Yeah. By the way, are you going to say thank you?
Thank you.
Do you know why you're saying thank
you? Because you didn't include the Victor Cruz play?
I'm trying to give good karma to this football season. It's our first Football Friday together this year. I wasn't including Victor Cruz. That's for you, big guy.
I thought it was all being set up to include the Victor Cruz
play. No, this is a new me. I wear suits and I don't troll.
Well, I mean, in fairness, what moment would you have taken out for the Victor Cruz game?
Probably Seahorn's pick six.
Because think about it. That's a regular season game. And it didn't assure your playoff spot.
Yeah.
It turned out to be the spark that got you there, but it's not like you clinched the playoffs with a victory.
I tried to go with real emotional. And I just have the Victor Cruz play is always a sour taste in my mouth.
Well, it's also
fault with Jack Irvin about it.
It's also
what?
It's the longest play in Giant history.
It is.
Yeah, I got you.
What?
Why? Victor Cruz dance.
I was working in the newsroom at WFAN that day cutting the highlights, and I had headphones in, and I started screaming, go, go, go. And Ack came over and ripped my headphone jack and told me I needed to quiet down. He was watching Red Zone.
He was actually watching Everybody Loves Raymond.
This is our workplace, Chief.
So you were just too excited in the workplace.
Yeah, he told me I needed to act more professional.
Oh, that's great.
Man, I watched that game by myself, and I was screaming the F word very loudly as it was happening. And by the way, the game was not over at that point. It wasn't. They admit they had so many missed opportunities in that game, the Jets did. And I'm not delusional enough to think that if they win that game, they go on the giant run. That probably doesn't happen. But it is incredible to think about the fortunes of these two franchises and how they're tied to that one game. So think about it. They go into a game virtually in the same position standings-wise. The Giants win, they go on to win the Super Bowl. Okay? Another great, amazing run.
Yep.
The premium thing that could happen. The Jets not only go on and don't make the playoffs, they haven't sniffed it since and are basically under 500 every single year with the exception of what I like to call the fart in the wind 2015 season when they lost week 17 against the Buffalo Bills in the Rex Ryan revenge game, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just the game and what it led to for the Giants, but the Jets have been in like a purgatory for the last decade.
There's a residue for the Jets as well that just it's equally as bad.
Incredible.
Yeah, they're still actually picking Brodney Poole's carcass off the turf after Bradshaw ran him over.
All right, a couple of things before we get back to your calls, and we'll make some NFL picks. We got legends joining us. The X's and O's on this weekend's game against the Vikings. Tiki, you tell me. This is a game the Giants need to win. I think we all kind of accept that. If they're going to have a season.
As we talked about it the other day, they're supposed to win, even though they're not the favorite.
Absolutely. Forget the spread. If the Giants are going to have a season, they need to win this game.
Yeah.
On the defensive side of things, what is the key to winning this game?
It's making Sam Darnold uncomfortable, making him feel like he's seeing ghosts again, just in a different uniform.
No, I understand using that analogy. That's fine.
I mean, it obviously is key to everything I think the Giants are going to do this year, because that's how they built this team. Right, they built it to be a get after the quarterback, be sound and run defense team. And so Sam Darnold has a lot to prove. I mean, we talked earlier, kind of got in an argument about this, about how he was – this is the best situation that he's been in because of Kevin O'Connell, his new head coach and an offensive mind. But he still has to prove it. There's still pressure in his mind. And the one thing the Giants need to do, absolutely have to do, is make him feel uncomfortable. And if they do, it gives them an advantage against a wide receiver on that team who is one of the best, if not the best, in football. And so, to me, it's get after Sam Darnold, most importantly.
So, Daboll's calling plays. We kind of knew this for months, but he finally admitted it the other day.
Yep.
And there's this assumption that they're going to take a lot of shots down the field. Do you think that's going to be the game plan on Sunday?
I think it's going to be – I expect to see more of what Josh Allen does. So – I'm assuming that Daniel Jones feels fully healthy. I don't know if he is fully healthy, but he feels fully healthy. And one of the things that he does really well is use his legs to be creative, getting out of the pocket, but also making things happen, in the run game. And so think about Josh Allen. Like, why was he so good? Because you always had to be cognizant of him running and moving. Mm-hmm. And so if Daniel Jones can be that and be a deep threat and have that deep threat, then it gives him an advantage that I don't think he's previously had.
Predict Malik Nabers' stat line on Sunday.
Malik Nabers? 5 catches, 82 yards.
How many times did he get in the end zone? 0? 1? 2? 7?
None.
0.
None.
So 572, is that what you said?
Yeah, 582.
582-0. Go ahead, Sean.
I think Malik Nabers catches 7 passes for 111 yards and a touchdown.
Wow. Okay. Lugie, 5 touchdowns?
6 for 140, and his first touchdown, like Xavier Worthy, is a running play.
Oh, I can see that. A little reverse action.
Yep.
There you go. I think he's going to have 3 catches for 34 yards, but 1 touchdown.
Oh, wait, so you're the only one on the under. 59.5 is his yardage.
Yeah, going with the under. I think the Giants are going to win this game, and we'll make our predictions and go in more depth on this. I think they're going to win this game, and actually the star of the game offensively, you ready for this one?
Go ahead.
It's going to be Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I think he scores twice.
Yeah, I think he's going to run the football well. I think the defense is going to get at Sam, which you talked about, which is really going to help avoid some pretty horrible matchups when it comes to trying to slow down Justin Jefferson. Like, Banks is good, but J.J.'s probably the best wide receiver in the NFL at this point. It's
right.
A tough matchup for anybody.
Right.
But I think they will get to the quarterback, and I think they're going to win a low-scoring game. I even have a final score. The problem is,
do you?
We already know the final score because all day long at MetLife Stadium,
so true.
They have a final score up on the scoreboard as if the scriptwriters let it out and there was like an accident.
By the way.
So do you want to unveil it?
If they win by that score.
Yeah.
There's some explaining got to happen.
I took a picture to save it.
I'm serious.
So,
there's just some explaining that's got
to everybody
happen.
In the audience, this is breaking news. The New York Giants have defeated the Minnesota Vikings by a final score of
28-10.
28-10. They just whipped that Viking butt, man.
A little aggressive on fourth downs, not letting Gano kick field goals on Sunday.
They didn't need to. They just got in the end zone when they got in the red zone.
All right, let's get to some of your phone calls. We'll make some picks. We got some Giant legends coming up later as well. Let's go to Bruce in Brooklyn. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Guys, I guess like Loogie, I'm not afraid of being delusional. And I see the Giants as possibly being a 3-0 team to start the year. Because I don't know, I love the Giants as underdogs. I just don't see Minnesota winning this game. I just don't see it. Then like the Mets, the Giants are going to have a lot of momentum going into Washington. They're going to win that game. And I don't see it as far-fetched that the Giants can go to Cleveland and win a game against a Browns team that I don't see is that good. I mean, Deshaun Watson gets injured on every play.
The only thing is the Browns' defense is great. I mean, they get after the quarterback.
Especially at home.
3-0 would be ambitious. It would be great because it would set them up to go Thursday night against the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, and
it would. I mean, it'd be the game of the week. If they could flex, they'd flex it into like prime time.
Could you imagine?
I mean, it is in prime
time. It's Thursday night game, yeah.
But you know what I mean. It becomes like a humongous game
if the Giants
start 3-0.
If the Giants are 3-0, Sean Marash will be the most unbearable human being on the planet.
Yep.
Like, I'd be happy for you. I'm not anti-Giant as much as Tiki may think that. I like the Giants. I really have no issue with them, other than when you break my heart on Christmas.
Right. You're like me. You're with the Giants like I am with the Mets.
Yeah.
I don't hate them.
You're an IBO. I'm an IFO. But the one thing I am also is someone that doesn't want to have to deal with
Listen, 4-0. 4-0 and they beat Dallas. Yankees could do whatever they want in October.
And then going to Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And that Giant-Dallas game.
Another winnable game.
Mets, Braves, and Yankees, Orioles that night.
Ross is calling from Bergen County. Ross.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Thank you, man.
What's up?
So, actually, if that 28-10 score is right, this might poo-poo my whole call, but I was actually you were talking about some disrespect on the spread.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it goes towards Minnesota, man. Listen, I think a big reason I'm calling as a Vikings fan, and I'm not one of those, you know, you got one right there in positive Tommy. I am not a shill by any means necessary, but I think a lot of the hate we get is being looked at as the distinct number four in a gauntlet of an NFC North. But, I mean, I'm looking at coming off of last year, and Tiki, you brought up Kevin O'Connell. I don't think he gets talked about enough. He has a Josh Dobbs-led Vikings at 7-6 before, you know, he got concussed in the Denver game and, you know, everything derailed from there. But they were 7-6 at one point. Josh Dobbs is one of the feel-good stories, you know, in the second half of the year. I could potentially see something similar with Sam Darnold. And Tiki, you know, I remember the first game you called last year, you saw the pilot episode of the resurgence here of Baker Mayfield. And you brought up Dave Canales. That's what landed him the job in Carolina.
That's right.
And,
we had that
talking about a couple years ago. Right, and Darnold and Baker were kind of that two-headed monster in Carolina a couple years ago. Baker had his comeback year, you know, this past year. Maybe it's out on Darnold. This is his fourth team in 7 years, and I think the whole thing with the McCarthy injury, I don't think he was going to play regardless this year. Kind of, they didn't want to mirror what happened with Darnold. The fact that him starting right out of the gate is why he is on his fourth team in year eight. But just overall, and then one more thing, too, on the defense. I mean, I think a lot it gets lost with the recent thing with Tua, with the Brian Flores war. But that Giants, you know, citing Daniel Jones against Minnesota, I think is kind of low-hanging fruit because we had Ed Donatell on his way out.
No, but it's not. We don't cite it to talk about how he's going to perform on Sunday against the Vikings. It's more that Daniel Jones was good enough to quarterback a team that made the postseason and won a postseason game on the road. That's just a fact. We know how bad that Viking defense was. That's certainly not the defense they're facing on Sunday. It's more when people talk about Jones being horrible. Remember what he was able to accomplish two seasons ago.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from the Giants Fan Fest here at MetLife Stadium on a gorgeous Friday night. Mets are going to take on the Cincinnati Reds in about an hour and a half. The Yankees have already won. They defeated the Chicago Cubs this afternoon, 3-0, behind six brilliant innings from Luis Gil. Every Friday, right around this time, we will make our NFL picks. It will include the local games. In this case, it's only the Giants. And then two other games in this week's case to get to three if the Jets and Giants are playing. We picked the Jet game, we picked the Giant game, and one other. Last night, there was one winner and three big losers. Tommy Lugau, a positive Tommy, won by the skin of his teeth.
But he did win.
By a toe, by a half a centimeter, but a win's a win, man. You cash it either way. He had Kansas City laying the three. Me, Tiki, and Sean all incorrectly had the Ravens plus three. So, this is the first time it really counts. That was a preseason pick. In fact, we all voted, that pick doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
It actually starts right now. And our picks are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL, the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. By ELEC 825, Building Our Future, and by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. So let's begin at week one of the National Football League. And you know what? As the defending champion, I went first yesterday. I'll go first again. And let me start it off locally. I've made it very clear my positive views on the New York Football Giants this season. Not overly positive. I think they're going to win eight games. I think they're going to be in the hunt. But I think the only way that that works, the only way that the positivity can actually happen is by winning on Sunday. And I don't think that's hyperbolic. I think Sunday's game is an incredibly important game. And I like this Giant defense to match the intensity of what will be a fired-up crowd at MetLife Stadium. I think they're going to get to Sam Darnold. I'm sure many have said it. Tiki's already said it. He'll see ghosts. But I think we're forgetting how good this pass rush can be, and I think will be to start this season. And I think offensively, this idea that Brian Daboll is going to open up the playbook and Daniel Jones is throwing bombs down the field, I don't see it. I think we're going to see a lot of Devin Singletary. I think we're going to see a low-scoring ball control kind of game. And I'm going to give you a final score. I think the Giants are going to win this game by a final score of 17-13. That's how the Giants are going to obviously clear the point and a half and win it outright to start off this season 1-0. Game number two. Yesterday, I said the Los Angeles Rams are going to come out of the NFC. And so, much like the Giants, I think it's important to get off to a good start. And what a test they have coming right out of the gate. Going back to Detroit to take on the Lions. We know about the history that Matthew Stafford has. Basically, he was disrespected in Detroit. They treated him like crap. That's what they did. The Rams are getting 3.5 in this game. When you look at the talent that this Ram team has on offense, I think they're going to lead the league in scoring. I think they're going to put up an absurd amount of points. And so I love the Los Angeles Rams to start this season on a very high note. The Lions obviously got a lot of hype. They were very close last year, NFC title game. And I think they will be fine. But I think week one is going to be the Rams show. I think the guns are going to be out. They're going to score a ton of points. And they're going to give the league a preview of how good this team is going to be. And I'm getting 3.5. So, seems like an easy win for me. Give me the Rams plus 3.5 in Detroit against the Lions. Game number three. Sticking again with another season-long prediction that I have. The Washington Commanders are going to surprise people. Jaden Daniels is going to blossom very quickly into the superstar that Washington football fans have been dreaming about for a long time. And they're going to do it in Tampa against the Buccaneer team. Oh, come on. They're coming back down to earth after last year. And it's the same thing. I'm getting 3.5. So I'm going to start off week one by going with three more underdogs. Picked an underdog on Thursday night, kind of lost. I'm going three underdogs on Sunday. The New York Giants getting 1.5 at home against the Vikings. The Rams getting 3.5 in Detroit against the Lions. And the Washington Commanders getting 3.5 in Tampa against the Buccaneers. Those are my picks, the defending champions' picks for week one in the National Football League. Let's decide to let Sean Morash go second. Sean, take it away.
Oh, thank you, Ev. I'm going two dogs and a favorite, and I'll start right here at MetLife Stadium with one of those dogs, and that's exactly what the Giants are going to be. Am I a little worried about Brian Flores, you know, sending a lot at an offensive line that hasn't played a lot in this preseason? Sure. But ultimately, I think you're getting a big-time Giants offensive effort and a big-time Malik Nabers show and some Singletary as well. The Giants are scoring 30 points. They're going to win this game 30-19 with two big turnovers that put them in prime position to bury touchdowns. Give me the G-men winning outright 30-19, pick number one. Pick number two, I'll give you another dog I love. Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans, will Caleb Williams and the Bears eventually get there? I think so, but laying 4.5 points in the first week of the year? No thank you, Evan. No thank you. Matt Eberflus will lose outright. Give me the Titans. Plus 4.5. All right, pick number three, the favorite I'm taking. The worst team in football this year is going to be the New England Patriots. They are going to get trounced early. I think Mayo will figure it out as the season goes on. I have no faith, whoever is playing quarterback, that they have any weapons. They traded away Matthew Judon on the pass rush front. I picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl yesterday. I know they have some uncertainty about the wide receivers and will they play. I don't think it matters. The spread is 8.5. This smells like 30-10 to me. Give me the Bengals laying 8.5 for pick number three for Mick.
Let's hand it over to Tommy Lugauer, who's saving Tiki for last because he's the guy that actually knows football. Go ahead, Tommy.
All right, guys. My first game is a team I'm very, very high on this year. I have a future on them to make the playoffs, and that's the Arizona Cardinals getting 6.5 in Buffalo. The debut of Maserati Marv, who I think he will be better than his Hall of Fame father. He's got just everything that you want from a wide receiver. I think Kyler Murray put down the video games. He'll be focused this season. Arizona's a sleeper team, and I like them getting 6.5 against a Buffalo team that always takes a little while to get going. They lost to the Jets last year and Zach Wilson on night one. So give me the Cardinals plus 6.5, my first game. Second game, sorry, Evan, I'm taking the Dolphins laying 3 against the Jags. I think the Jags are just not that good of a team. Dolphins, they love to run the score up. It'll probably be 150 degrees down in Miami. They always do well in those spots. I think it's a smash spot. Dolphins have speed all over the field. I'm not a massive Tua guy, but I like the Dolphins here getting the 3. And then, finally, the best one for last here, the Giants. Positive Tommy predicted, 11 wins for the Giants. So they start that Week 1 against Sam Darnold, Mr. Mono himself, the kissy-kissy woo-woo disease. They will beat Sam. The score will be, I don't know, I'm just going to randomly pick one. 28-10, is that the score?
Oh, don't do that. Copy the scoreboard.
28-10, bet it now, you can do that. 28-10, the Giants will cover the 1.5, and they will win outright. So Dolphins minus 3, Cardinals plus 6.5, and then the Giants plus 1.5, and the Barber family will now watch Tiki make his picks.
Right.
No pressure now, Tiki.
It's all good. My wife, my two daughters are here, as are Mandy and Zoe. I'll start with the Giants because we're here, and obviously last year I was all Giants all the time. I never picked against them, and I'm not going to change doing that this year. The Giants are getting 1.5 at home. It's just disrespect. And I think that this Giants team will take that to heart, and I think they'll come out and play this game. Maybe not quite like 41 Donut of the NFC Championship game back in 2000, but they are going to play with an urgency because that's what Brian Daboll commands. So give me the Giants plus 1.5 at home. Now, the rest of these games, it's almost impossible. We don't know what these teams are going to look like. There have been so many changes to so many of these teams. And so week one, we're just kind of guessing. Whatever you saw in the preseason, guess what? It was iron pyrite, fool's gold. There's nothing you can take from it. But there are some teams that have some stability from a year ago, which is going to it's going to tell you why I'm looking at them. One is the Steelers and the Falcons. To me, this comes down to quarterback play. We know that the Steelers are all in. They're at home. They're laying 3.5 points against a Steelers team that is trying to figure out who they are and what they're going to be. Now, I know Mike Tomlin never loses or has losing seasons, but this could be one of those where his quarterback, Russell Wilson, gets him into a little bit of trouble. We know who's waiting in the wings and Justin Fields, but I think the Falcons, who geared up this offseason to be a contender, not just in the division, but get into the postseason and push, are going to exercise their demons from a year ago with a more competent quarterback in Kirk Cousins and do a number on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So give me the Falcons laying 3.5 at home. The other team, one of the most explosive offenses in football a year ago, was the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars are good. They have good players on both sides of the football. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is one of the good young quarterbacks in the NFL, just got paid. But Miami is always innovative. They're also laying 3.5 at home. And
I have no idea what Mike McDaniel's new wrinkle is going to be in 2024. But I can tell you right now, without knowing or looked at or scouted or done anything, any work on this game at all, that the Jacksonville Jaguars also have no idea. And with Tyreek Hill and Devon Achane on Evan's fantasy team.
You remember that.
And Jalen Waddle. Like, they have a ton of talent. Mostert is still there. Tua got paid this offseason as well. I think the Dolphins explode early this year, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, unfortunately, are going to be unaware. So give me the Dolphins laying 5.5 at home, as long with the Falcons laying, or 3.5 at home, the Falcons laying 3.5 at home, and the Giants getting 1.5
so
at home.
So we all picked the Giants. This is going to be a problem. I'm way too positive about the Giants. You three are always positive about the Giants. So now, we're going to pick the Giants every week? Is that what's going to happen on this show?
I mean, there might be some games we don't.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be some games where I don't. I just don't know about you guys.
I said I'll never not pick them.
I'll tell you right now, I'm calling one upset the Giants are having this year.
Yeah.
Week 6, Sunday night, they're beating the Bengals at home.
All right. Look at that.
So, mark that tape.
Interesting.
The Giants are wearing the 100th anniversary uniforms this Sunday. Is Mr. Mara listening, Teak, we think? Probably not, right? Mr. Mara, I'm only joking here. You wear those uniforms, you better win. I'm sorry. You better win those. I mean, that's the game you better win if you're wearing those uniforms.
You're talking about the Montreal Canadiens uniform?
Yeah, the Michigan Wolverines.
But it's only one time.
The one that Sean Bott wore the other day? He walked in. I thought it was the Canadiens. I was so confused.
It's the New York Giants, and they will be undefeated in that uniform.
All right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.